It's good to see you here today. There's sort of a theme for what I have to speak about, and it's faith. And it's kind of hard to separate faith from some of those other things like hope and charity, but I'm gonna try. And so I'd like to begin in the Book of Mormon on page 745. Chapter 5, verse 1 in the Book of Ether. I'm going to come back to this chapter off and on, so if you kind of keep your thumb here. And it came to pass that the days of Ether were in the days of Coriantumr, and Coriantumr was the king over all the land. And Ether was a prophet of the Lord. Wherefore Ether came forth in the days of Coriantumr and began to prophesy unto the people, for he could not be restrained because of the Spirit of the Lord which was in him. For he did cry from the morning and even until the going down of the sun, exhorting the people to believe in God unto repentance, lest they should be destroyed, saying unto them that by faith all things are fulfilled. Wherefore, whosoever believe in God might with surety hope for a better world, yea, even a place at the right hand of God, which hope cometh of faith, maketh an anchor to the souls of men, which would make them sure and steadfast, always abounding in good works, being led to glorify God. In James chapter 2, verses 17 through 18, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Works are given to us because of our faith, and our faith is evident because of our works. And if we have faith in God, then our works will be evident, and those works would be good. In Alma chapter 5 on page 325, starting at verse 40, asking for whatsoever things ye stand in need, both spiritual and temporal, always returning thanks unto God for whatsoever things ye do receive, and see that ye have faith, hope, and charity, and ye will always abound in good works. And may the Lord bless you and keep your garments spotless, that ye may at the last be brought to sit down by Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the holy prophets, which have been ever since the world began, having your garments spotless, even as the garments are spotless in the kingdom of heaven. And now, my beloved brethren, I have spoken these words unto you according to the Spirit that testifieth in me. And my soul doth exceedingly rejoice because of the exceeding diligence and heed of the exceedingly diligence and the heed which ye have given unto my word. And now, by the peace of God rest upon you. May the peace of God rest upon you and upon your houses and lands and upon your flocks and herds and all that you possess, that your women and your children, according to your faith and good works, from this time forth and forever. And thus I have spoken. Amen. So you're speaking of our good works that we have because of faith and charity and hope. And we can't have hope without faith. And hope is what teaches us charity. Hope teaches us what the pure love of God is. In Alma, page 341, chapter 8, starting at verse 95. He is the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And he shall come unto the world to redeem his people. And he shall take upon him the transgressions of those who believe on his name. And these are they that shall have eternal life. And salvation come to none else. Therefore the wicked remain as though there had been no redemption made, except it be by the loosening the bands of death. For behold, the day cometh that all shall rise from the dead and stand before God and be judged according to their works. We're judged according to our works because our works are the fruits of our faith and our hope. And if we have faith and our hope and hope, then our works will be good. Third Nephi, chapter 6, 27 through 37. It's on page 642. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs of thistles? We know the false prophets, he's saying here, that we know them by their fruits or their works. And because they're not of God, their works aren't good. And continuing on, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not fruit forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. And that's what's meant by that we will be judged by our works. That if we don't bring forth good fruit, we'll be hewn down and cast into the fire. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built a house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which buildeth his house upon his sand, and the rain descended, and floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Back in Ether, on page 746, verse 4, wherefore whosoever believeth in God might with surety hope for a better world, yea, even a place at the right hand of God, which hope cometh of faith, maketh an anchor to the souls of men, which would make them sure and steadfast always, abounding in good works. Faith in Christ himself, is that rock that we should build our house on. We continue on in Ether to the 15th chapter, verse. And it came to pass that Ether did prophesy great and marvelous things unto the people, which they did not believe, because they saw them not. And now I, Moroni, would speak somewhat concerning these things. I would show unto the world that faith is things which are hoped for and not seen. Wherefore, dispute not, because ye see not. For ye receive no witness until after the trial of your faith. For it was by faith that Christ showed himself unto our fathers, and after that he had risen from the dead. And he showed himself unto them until they had faith in him. Therefore it must needs be that some had faith in him. For he showed himself not unto the world, because of the faith of men. He has shown himself unto the world, and glorified the name of the Father, and prepared a way that thereby others might be partakers of the heavenly gift, that they might hope for those things which they have not seen. Wherefore, ye may also have hope and be partakers of the gift, if ye will but have faith. Behold, it was by faith that they of old were called after the holy order of God, wherefore by faith was the law of Moses given. But in the gift of his Son, God hath prepared a more excellent way, and it is by faith that it hath been fulfilled. For if there be no faith among the children of men, God can do no miracle among men, wherefore he showed not himself until after their faith. Behold, it was by the faith of Alma and Amulek that caused the prison to tumble to the earth. Behold, it was the faith of Nephi and Lehi that wrought the change upon the Lamanites, that they were baptized with fire and the Holy Ghost. If you would turn with me to Helaman 6, page 585. I'd like to read to you the account of what he's speaking of here in verse 15. Starting with verse 89. I'm sorry, it's on 558, yeah. For they saw that the Lamanites durst not lay their hands upon them, neither durst they come near them unto them, but stood as if they were struck dumb with amazement. And it came to pass that Nephi and Lehi stand forth and began to speak unto them, saying, Fear not, for behold, it is God that hath shown unto you this mysterious thing, in which is shown unto you that ye cannot lay your hands on us to slay us. And behold, when they had said these words, the earth shook exceedingly, and the walls of the prison did shake, as if they were about to tumble to the earth, but behold, they did not fall. And behold, they that were in the prison were Lamanites and Nephites, which were dissenters. And it came to pass that they were overshadowed with the cloud of darkness, and an awful solemn fear came upon them. And it came to pass that there came a voice, as if it were above the clouds of darkness, saying, repent ye, and seek no more to destroy my servants, which I have sent unto you to declare good things, or good tidings. And it came to pass, when they heard this voice, and beheld it was not a voice of thunder, neither was it a voice of great tumultuous noise, but behold, it was a still voice of perfect mildness, as if it had been a whisper, and it did pierce even to the very soul. And notwithstanding the mildness of the voice, behold, the earth shook exceedingly, and the walls of the prison tumbled again, as if it were about to tumble to the earth. And behold, the cloud of darkness, which had overshadowed them, did not disperse. And behold, the voice came again, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and seek no more to destroy my servants. And it came to pass that the earth shook again, and the walls trembled, and also again the third time the voice came, and did speak unto them marvelous words, which cannot be uttered by man. and the walls did tremble again, and the earth shook as if it were about to divide asunder. And it came to pass that the Lamanites could not flee because of the cloud of darkness which did overshadow them. And also they were immovable because of the fear which did come upon them. Now there was one among them who was a Nephite by birth, who had once belonged to the church of God, but had dissented from them. And it came to pass that he turned him about, and behold, he saw through the cloud of darkness the faces of Nephi and Lehi, and behold, they did shine exceedingly, even as the faces of angels. And behold, they did lift their eyes to heaven, and they were in the attitude of taking or lifting their voices to some being which they beheld. And it came to pass that in this man did they cry unto the multitude, that they might turn and look. And behold, there was power given unto them, that they did turn and look, and they did behold the faces of Nephi and Lehi. And they said unto the man, behold, what doth all these things mean? And who is it with whom these men do converse? And the man's name was Aminadab. And Aminadab said unto them, they do converse with angels of God. And it came to pass that the Lamanites said unto him, what shall we do, that this cloud of darkness may be removed from overshadowing us? And Aminadab said unto them, you must repent and cry and with the voice, even until ye shall have faith in Christ, which is taught unto you by Elma and Amulek and Zizrom. And when ye shall do this, the cloud of darkness shall be removed from the overshadowing you. And it came to pass that they all did begin to cry unto the voice of him which had shook the earth, and yea, they did cry, even unto the cloud of darkness was dispersed. And it came to pass that when they cast their eyes about and saw that the cloud of darkness was dispersed from overshadowing them, and behold, they saw that they were encircled about, yea, every soul.
By a pillar of fire, and Nephi and Lehi were in the midst of them. Yea, they were encircled about, yea, they were as if in the midst of the flaming fire. Yea, it did not harm them, neither did it take hold upon the walls of the prison, and they were filled with the joy that is unspeakable and joy of glory. And behold, the Holy Spirit of God did come down from heaven and did enter into their hearts, and every where filled was with faith, and behold, the Holy Spirit of God came down from heaven and did enter unto their hearts, and they were filled as if with fire, and they could speak forth marvelous words. And it came to pass that there came a marvelous voice unto them, yea, a pleasant voice, as if it were a whisper, saying, peace, peace be unto you, because of your faith in my well-beloved, which was from the foundation of the earth. Sorry. I know that was a real long reading, but the point that I tried to bring out there was the faith that they had, the faith that they prayed that this dark cloud would be removed from them, and that they believed with great faith that the Holy Ghost came to them and baptized them. If you would turn with me to 3 Nephi, chapter 48.
chapter 4, four verse starting with verse 48. I am the light and the life of the world. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And ye shall offer up unto me no more shedding of blood. Your sacrifices and your burnt offerings shall be done away. For I will accept none of your sacrifices and your burnt offerings that ye shall offer for a sacrifice unto me, a broken heart and a contrite spirit. This was the sacrifice that these men made. Because of their faith, they were able to offer a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and that they did receive the baptism by the fire and the Holy Ghost. And they received that before the death of Christ. If you turn with me to John chapter 8, or chapter 14, I'm sorry. John chapter 14, verses 25. Through 27. And these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And in John chapter 20, starting with verse 19, then the same day at the evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said unto them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. And when he hath said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whatsoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whatsoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Here you can see that they didn't receive the Holy Ghost until after Christ's death and ascension and return, until he had went to his glory. Yet the men that we read about in Helaman, they received the Holy Ghost before Christ was crucified because of their faith. I'd like to continue in Ether chapter 5. Page 747. Starting again at verse 16. Behold, it was the faith of Ammon and his brothers which wrought so great a miracle among the Lamanites. Yea, and even all they which wrought miracles wrought they them by faith, even those which were before Christ, and also them which were after. And it was by faith that the three disciples obtained a promise that they should not taste of death. And they obtained not the promise until after their faith. And neither at any time hath any wrought miracles until after their faith, wherefore they first believed in the Son of God. And there were many whose faith was so exceedingly strong, even before Christ came, which could not be kept from within the veil, but truly saw with their eyes the things which they had believed, beheld, and an eye of faith, and they were glad. And behold, we have seen in this record that one of these was the brother of Jared, For so great was his faith in God that God put forth his finger, and he could not hide it from the sight of the brother of Jared. Because of this word which he had spoken unto him, which word he hath obtained by faith. And the brother of Jared had beheld the finger of the Lord because of the promise which the brother of Jared had obtained by faith. The Lord could not withhold anything from his sight, wherefore he showed unto him all the things, for he could no longer kept without the veil. And by faith that my fathers have obtained the promise, that my fathers have attained the promise that these things should come unto their brethren through the Gentiles. Therefore the Lord hath commanded me, yea, even Jesus Christ. If you turn with me to Exodus chapter 24, starting in verse 9, and can read another story of Moses who saw God. And then went up Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet as it were a paved work of sapphire stone, as it were the body of the heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand. Also they saw God, and he did eat and drink. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up unto me unto the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone, and the law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses went up, rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up unto the mount of God. Moses too had great faith that he was able to see God. The brother of Jared seeing God somewhere between the year 2000 and 2200 before Christ. And this was about 1491 B.C. So the brother of Jared was the first one, and then Moses is another one that were able to see God because of their great faith. I'd like to read to you the testimony of Joseph Smith. This is on page 15 of the Outline History of the Church of Christ. And I'll start, I won't read the whole thing, I'll just kind of start in the middle. And while I was laboring under the extreme difficulties caused by these parties of religion, I was one day reading the Epistle of James, first chapter, fifth verse, which reads, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Neither did any passage of Scripture come with more power to the heart of man than this did at this time to mine. It seemed to enter with great force into every feeling of my heart. At length I came to the determination to ask of God, concluding that if he gave wisdom to them who lacked wisdom, and would give liberally and not abradeth, I might venture. So in accordance with this, my determination to ask God, I retired to through the woods to make an attempt. And it was the morning of a beautiful day, early in the spring of 1820. Excuse me. And it was the first time in my life that I had made such an attempt. For for almost all my anxieties. I had never as yet made the attempt to pray vocally. After I had retired unto the place where I had previously designed to go, having looked around me and finding myself alone, I knelt down and began to offer up the desires of my heart to God. And I scarcely done so when immediately I was seized upon by some power which entirely overcame me and had such astonishing influence over me as to bind my tongue. And it seemed to me for a time as if I were doomed to sudden destruction. But exerting all my powers to call upon God and to deliver me out of the power of this enemy which had seized upon me, and at the very moment when I was ready to sink into despair and abandon myself to destruction, not to an imaginary ruin, but to the power of some actual being from the unseen world who had such marvelous power as I had never before felt in my being, just at that moment, a great alarm, I saw a pillar of light exceeding over me, excel over me, over the brightness of the sun, which descended gradually until it fell upon me. It no sooner appeared that I found myself delivered from the enemy which had held me bound. And when the light rested upon me, I saw two personages whose brightness and glory defy all description. Standing above me in the air, one of them spoke unto me, calling me by name, and said, pointing to the other, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." My object in going to inquire of the Lord was to know which of all the sects was right, that I might know which to join. No sooner, therefore, did I get possession of myself as to be able to speak, than I asked the personages who stood above me in the light which of all the sects were right. For at this time it had never entered into my heart that all were wrong, in which I should join. I was answered that I must join none of them, for they were all wrong. And the personages who addressed me and said that all their creeds were an abomination in the sight, that those professors were all corrupt. They draw near to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They teach doctrine. They draw near to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They teach for doctrine the commandments of men, having a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. And he again forbade me to join with any of them. When I came to myself again, I found myself lying on my back, looking up to heaven. Because of faith of Joseph Smith and practicing that faith, I'd like to continue in reading another reading a little bit more out of the history. This is a revelation that was given in June 1831, which in part reads as follows. "Behold, thus saith the Lord unto the elders whom hath called and chosen in these last days by the voice of his Spirit, saying, I, the Lord, will make known unto you what I will that ye should do from this time until the next conference, which shall be held in Missouri upon the land which I will consecrate unto my people, which are a remnant of Jacob, and them who are heirs according to the covenant. Wherefore, verily I say unto you, let my servants be made to leave their homes and journey into the land of Missouri, and unto them unto them what they shall do, and it shall also be insomuch as they are faithful, and be made known unto them that the land of your inheritance may be made known unto them of the land of your inheritance. And this is done that they are faithful. We have many things to look forward to. We have the gathering of the saints and the building of the temple. One day we know that the gospel will be preached to all the corners of the earth. I believe that all these things too will be done by faith. And all the great miracles that we have testimonies of in the Bible and the Book of Mormon, they were all done because of faith in Christ. I'd like to go to Moroni on page 765. Excuse me. I don't have my book marked. And start at verse 20. And now I come to that faith of which I said I would speak, and I will tell you the way whereby ye may lay hold on every good thing. For behold, God, knowing all things, being from everlasting to everlasting, behold, he sent angels to minister unto the children of men, to make manifest concerning the coming of Christ, and in Christ there should come every good thing. And God also declared unto the prophets by his own mouth that Christ should come. And behold, there were divers ways that he did manifest things unto the children of men which were good, and all things which were good cometh of Christ. Otherwise men had fallen, and there could no good thing come unto them. Wherefore, by the ministering of angels, and by every word which proceeded forth out of the mouth of God, men began to exercise faith in Christ. And thus by faith did they lay hold upon every good thing, and thus it was until the coming of Christ. And after he came, men also were saved by faith in his name, and by faith they became the sons of God. And assuredly as Christ liveth, he speaketh these words unto our fathers, saying, whatsoever thing ye shall ask in the Father in my name, which is good, in faith believing, ye shall receive. Behold, it shall be done unto you. So that tells us that all good things come through and because of the faith in Christ. In 3rd Nephi, chapter 12, verses 32. Therefore, nothing entereth into its rest, save it be those who have washed their garments in my blood because of their faith and the repentance of all their sins and their faithfulness unto the end. Now this is the commandment, repent all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me and be baptized in my name, that ye may be sanctified by the reception of the Holy Ghost, that ye may stand spotless before me at the last day. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is my gospel, and ye know the things that ye must do in my church, for ye know the things that ye must do in my church, for the works which ye have seen me do, that shall ye also do. For that which ye have seen me do, even shall ye do therefore. If ye do these things, blessed are ye, for ye shall be lifted up the last day. Christ is commanding us there. I mean, we're commanded there to repent and follow the example of Christ and have faith. And in Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering and said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So Jesus himself set the example that we should be baptized, that he should fulfill righteousness. And in faith we should follow his example, that we might also be baptized, and that God might also be pleased with us. In Alma, page 317, chapter 3, starting with verse 46. I think that's right. I say unto you, except ye make our Creator a liar from the beginning, starting at 46. And now behold, I say unto you, my brethren, if ye have experienced a change of heart, if ye have felt to sing the song of redeeming love, I would ask, can ye feel so now? Have ye walked keeping yourselves blameless before God? Can ye say, if ye were called to die at this time within yourselves, that ye have been sufficiently humble, that your garments have been cleansed and made white through the blood of Christ, which will come to redeem his people from their sins? Behold, are ye stripped of pride? I say unto you, if ye are not, ye are not prepared to meet God. But behold, ye must prepare quickly, for the kingdom of heaven is soon at hand. And such an one hath not eternal life. Behold, I say, is there one among you who is not stripped of envy? I say unto you, that such a one is not prepared. And I would that he should prepare quickly, for the hour is close at hand, and he knoweth not when the time shall come, for such as one is not found guiltless. And again I say unto you, is there one among you that doth make mock of his brother, or hath heaped upon him persecutions? Who unto such a one, for he is not prepared, and the time is at hand that he must repent, and he cannot be saved. Yea, even woe unto you, all ye workers of iniquity, repent, for the Lord God hath spoken it. Behold, he sendeth an invitation unto all men, for the arms of mercy are extended towards them. And he saith, repent, and I will receive you. For my final scripture, I'd like to use Romans 22 through 26. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all of them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned, and have come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, and to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Thank you.